Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month, we have an interview with US author K.D. Williamson, and you're not going to want to miss it. It's coming up very shortly. But first, let's see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon fiction charts, as well as finding out what's going on in the world of lesfic and what's going on in the world of me. First up, the Amazon charts. And topping the charts in the US, as I record this on June 22nd, is Eliza Lenski with her book, The Woman in 3B. Now, this one is crushing it, and it's about a flight attendant, Alice, who passes the time with her colleagues by completing dares during a flight. One such dare is to spill a drink on the woman in 3B, the eponymous woman of the title. Only when Alice clocks the beautiful woman sitting in 3B, things are never quite the same. Now, I haven't read this, but it's getting absolutely stellar reviews and people are loving it. And I'll tell you, I think Eliza is a great writer. I've read a few of her books, so I'm pretty sure people are loving it with good reason. So check that out if you haven't already. Also doing well in the lesfic charts as I record this is One Golden Summer by T.B. Markinson and me. This one is a co-write we did, and it's an easy breezy summer story about trust and two women looking for trust in each other. Saffron is a movie star looking to get out of the biz and lead a quiet life. She heads to Sandy Cove where she meets Kirsty. Now there's 17 years between them. How's that for an age gap romance? But that's nothing compared to all the meddling exes, pushy agents and careless best friends they have to contend with. But on top of all that, there's wine, there's oysters, there's sunshine, ice cream and steam. It's the perfect slice of summer, so do check it out if you haven't already. Cara Malone's Lucky in Love features a vet and a country girl who fall in love while rescuing bunnies. I know, I mean, I had to look at that a couple of times. This one's got a woman with really cute bunnies on the front. It is a very unique premise, so kudos to Cara. Jules is a vet and Parker is a woman helping her out with her bunny business. But Parker has a secret, one that threatens to rip their love apart. Now, I haven't read this, so I have no idea what it is. And I wouldn't want to speculate, but I don't know what it is. It's got to be something bunny related as well. I hope Parker hasn't eaten some in her time. Or is Parker a bunny boiler? Oh my God, all will be revealed. Natasha West's Captive Hearts is also climbing up the charts as I type this, as I record this intro. This one is a bit different to her normal rom-coms, even though she's labelling it as such. But this one is a rom-com packed with adventure and thrills, so I'm in. This one has a TV news reporter, Ashley Quick, Best Name Award this month, and her camerawoman Gina Tucker racing headlong into a hostage situation. They have to do battle with the odds as well as their attraction to each other, so this could be a hot one. Again, I love Natasha's writing, so if police nail-biting rom-coms are your thing, check out Captive Hearts. Finally, Claire Ashton has a new book out, which is a big deal considering she only ever releases books every 2 or 3 years. This one is called Finding Jessica Lambert, and it's the story of the, again, eponymous star, a movie star in danger of burnout. Wanting to get away from everything, Jessica Lambert meets Anna and they hole up in Anna's rooftop flat. And that's when they get to know each other. It's an age gap romance about a movie star. There's a theme going on this month, isn't there? It's like that month when everybody was doing doctor books. But movie stars and doctor books are always in vogue, so why not? And Claire's books are normally a treat, so do check out Finding Jessica Lambert. So that's the chart roundup for June 2020. And we should also say, because it is June and June is Pride Month. So happy Pride. Happy Pride wherever you are in the world. I know it's a very strange Pride Month because none of us are going out wearing a feather boa and painting glitter on our faces, are we? Let's face it, I never did that. Anyway, I'm a very happy introvert who gets a bit scared in crowds. Although I have marched in quite a few Pride parades, but maybe I'm getting worse as I'm getting older. I don't know. But anyway, it's not a normal Pride Month this year because of COVID-19, but it's still great to remember what Pride is and how it started. And just to remember that the people who fought for our rights back in the 1960s at the Stonewall Inn, the start of the LGBT community rising up and fighting back against institutional homophobia and police brutality, which sounds very familiar if we think back to what's happened with George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter protest, doesn't it? Stonewall had people from all backgrounds fighting for our rights, which is why solidarity today is really crucial in the fight for racial equality, because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So even though this Pride Month is important, more important is the fact that Black Lives Matter. So what is going on in the world of lesfic? Well, not that much, because there aren't many lesbian fiction or LGBT events going on at the moment because of COVID-19. However, I do know that the South Coast Lesfic Hangout may well still be going ahead in September in the UK, in Crawley. So if that is something that you might be able to get to, do check out their website, which is schlo.wordpress.com, I do believe, and that is due to take place on September the 12th, but I guess it's going to be subject to change, as is the world as we know it, right? As for me, I have been cracking on just fine. We had a couple of holidays cancelled, but I think that's the way of 2020. I still have one booked for October, but who knows what might happen. The world is liable to change. Change is the one constant we always live with, and change is definitely the constant in the world right now. But positive things to come from lockdown for me. We've been buying a lot more from local businesses. I've cut my wife's hair and done my own dentistry. Yes, one of my fillings fell out and the dentist wasn't open, so I had to fill it myself. So yeah, things that you didn't know that you could do or would be able to do, I did it. Also, last night I did an online cooking class and made truffles and summer rolls. So it seems that this lockdown I've become jack of all trade, master of none. But the one thing I'm not too bad at still is, I hope anyway, is writing books. And since we last spoke, as I said in the chart roundup, I have launched my latest co-write with my friend and podcast host TB Markinson. And One Golden Summer is flying out there at the moment. So thanks if you've already bought it and read it. And if you haven't, go out and read our Ode to Summer. But in other news, Before You Say I Do has been a big hit this year, and it's attracted the attention of many best of lists, and I was really thrilled that it got a mention in the Goodreads Pride best of list. So thank you whoever put that together. I've also signed translation deals for Before You Say I Do in German and Portuguese. So if you're in Germany or Portugal or Brazil, you will be able to read that in your home language very soon, which will be very exciting, because I think that they're going to be my first translations coming out. And I've got an audio deal for Before You Say I Do with a new publisher too, and that's coming out in October. So that's my publishing news. Next up for me, I'm working on book 7 in the London series. I'm 12,000 words into it right now and quite loving it. This one is the story of India Kuntelli, who featured in book 6. So if you've read Made in London, I hope you're excited about having India's story. And this one should be out, all being well, in the autumn. But that's all from me. Let's get on with the star of the show, KD Williamson. I hope you enjoy the interview. Joining me today is US author KD Williamson. KD is the author of 4 Cops and Docs books, including Blurred Lines and Crossing Lines, as well as her latest novel, Big Girl Pill. She is a southerner and a former nomad, taking up residence in the Midwest, East Coast, and New Orleans over the years. She enjoys all things geek, from video games to superheroes, and she discovered writing as a teenager with the help of her English teacher. So welcome, KD.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And I should also say that you did say that you had a crush on said English teacher, which is, you know, it's a rite of passage, isn't it?
It is very much so.
Have you had any sort of communication with this English teacher since you left the school?
No, God, I do think about her from time to time, though.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a senior, because she was my sophomore or my junior English teacher. When I was a senior, I remember being at a football game, and I remember her chasing me down. Because I heard somebody calling my name. I was walking toward the concession stand, and I turned around, and it was her. And she ran up to me and wanted to show that she was engaged.
Oh, gosh.
And she goes, I know you always wondered about me. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, just break my heart. Why?
Oh, gosh. I feel bad bringing it up now. So how are you today? Can you tell us what you can see from where you're sitting today? Where are you?
I am sitting in my office, which is an utter mess, I have to admit. I'm in the process of trying to straighten it up. I have my desk is facing the window. Unfortunately, I don't have much of a view because I just look outside and I see the siding from the house next door to us.
Is that where you do most of your writing?
It is. You know, I get snatches of things wherever I am, but this is where I do my writing.
Cool. So talking of your writing, tell me a little bit about your writing journey and how you got started since the English teacher.
Well, I kind of stopped after that. I stopped writing for a while. You know, I did the obligatory stuff in college and stuff like that, you know, papers and whatnot. And when I graduated, for the first time, with my first couple of degrees, I started writing fanfic, and I think it was because I started writing it because I wanted to write fanfic that I wanted to read, and so that's what got me into that game. So I started, you know, I wrote a little bit of Xena, and after, you know, Xena did her nice fan, even though that, you know, a lot of stuff is still going on with that fandom. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a little bit of Buffy, and, you know, I moved over to Rizzoli and Isles. And that's probably, and I did a little Grey's Anatomy too, but that was more like, you know, just a couple of stories. I kind of just, through the ages, I just kind of moved and flowed through shows that I enjoyed for the most part. Now, I stopped watching Rizzoli and Isles after, I think, 3 seasons or something. I don't know, something like that. And so whatever I wrote at that point was completely made up in my head.
Right, okay. I'll let you in a little secret. I've never seen an episode of Rizzoli and Isles. I need to do that, don't I?
You do. Concentrate on the first couple of seasons and you'll be great. Because it's like, I almost believe that because it got such a huge lesbian and bisexual following, mm-hmm. that they kind of backed off and got scared about a lot of things.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a drastic change in the show. Like, I think around after season 3, it seems like.
Okay. And so you started off writing fan fiction. Do you still go back and write fan fiction now?
I don't. Unfortunately, I've tried to, because I do have one story that is totally unfinished. And I did try after I wrote, I want to say, after I finished Between the Lines, I tried to go back and write on it. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't find the space in my head to do it. Very strange, yeah.
Yeah. I've had quite a few authors on this podcast who've done fan fiction, but I've still never read any because I don't really know where to find it. So, and people do tell me, but then I forget. I've got a terrible memory. Anyway, but when you say you wrote Grey's Anatomy, because that's the one show that I do love, who are you fanficking? Is that the right term? Who are you writing about?
Yes, I did Callie and Addie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there was a short I did. It was a short story, very like, maybe 5,000 words or something like that. And then I included Addison in a couple of Rizzoli and Isles fanfic. I included her into those. And then I kind of, because I made her character so big in those Rizzoli and Isles stories, I kind of veered off and decided to give her that on her own story with Meredith as the love interest.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. And That's the one I haven't finished, and I still get complaints to this day. Please finish it. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just not. I don't have the inspiration, you know, to finish it. I'm just like, man, and I'm tempted to take it down. I know people still enjoy, you know, up to that point.
Okay. So. Yeah. Well, I'll add my name to the list of people who want you to finish that one. But anyway, you said you started out writing fan fiction, and then how did you move into publishing your work?
Well, as you know, I used to publish with Ilva, and I was online. I think one night, it was a weekend or something like that, and Astrid messaged me, and I thought it was a scam. I was like, are you shitting me? I was like, are you serious? And she was like, yeah. She says, here's the website, look us up, you know. And so I did some research as she was talking, you know, and I was like, okay, this seems legit, you know. And she wanted Blurred Lines, you know, which was a fanfic, a monstrous fanfic, you know, at that point. I think I had just finished it maybe a month before or something like that. So she's like, it's a great piece of romance. You know, I really want to adapt it, you know, for lesfic. And I was just like, uh-huh. And, you know, and I was like, okay. I said, well, let me talk to my partner, you know, and, you know, see what she says about this. And so I went and talked to her about it. You know, I told her I would get back to her the next day or something like that. And so, and my partner was like, seriously? I was like, yeah. And I was like, she said, you sure this isn't a scam? I was like, yeah, I looked up the website. It's on the up and up. I mean, yeah. You know, and I checked Amazon to see the books that had been published, you know, from the publisher, you know, and all that stuff. So I was like, it's legit. And she was like, okay, well, you know, maybe you should do it. And it just started at that point.
Yeah, and so you did four books with them, and now you're with Dirt Road Books, right, for your latest Big Girl Pill. So how would you describe your books to someone who's never read one?
They are, if I were to describe the Cops and Docs books first, I want to say each one is so vastly different, but I want to say it's a bit of realism wrapped into romance, wrapped into humor, and sometimes crass humor. You know, it depends on how you see that. You know, so.
Yeah, and I think having read Big Girl Pill for this one, I can totally see that. So, as I said, I read it for the podcast, and I loved it. I loved its cast of characters and its snarky sense of humor. And it's a second chance romance about Nina, who's getting married to Drew, but her friend and sometime lover Maya, she recruits her as a bridesmaid. So, tell me a little bit about how this one came into being.
Actually, funny story. It was actually loosely based on a fanfic I wrote years ago called The Beautiful Lie. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the premise of it. The premise is similar because it's a Rizzoli and Isles fanfic. And I had Maura getting married, Jane kind of in the wind, you know, in love with her or, you know, something to that degree. Mm-hmm. So that was what the whole fanfic was about, you know, them trying to, you know, come toward each other despite everything that was going on. So I was like, you know, I like that premise, you know, but what if I used it and kind of, you know, went a whole different way with it? You know, added more humor, added, you know, a lot more side characters that kind of rounded things out a bit. And that's what I ended up with. Jill McKnight actually gave me the idea for the title. And she's like, you know, she says, I like the story, because she read The Beautiful Lie. And she said, but let's make it younger and funny. And I was like, you know, okay. I said, I like that idea. And mm-hmm. and that's just what came out.
Yeah. And it's definitely very funny. It had me laughing. And as you said about the secondary characters, they were what really struck me about the book as well. And I think you can be a bit more, you can go a bit more out there, can't you, with these secondary characters? And okay. I loved Rachel, and I loved Maya's brothers, Terrence and Winston too. I could really picture them. I could really see them. So how do you go about writing solid secondary characters?
You know what? I don't ever see them as secondary characters. I see them as main characters.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And they become that with me. I mean, you know, to me, I don't I know I don't write in, I guess you could say, vacuum, so to speak. I like having a cast of characters and interwoven plots and, you know, and everything, because I like that everybody has something to do with each other. And it's not just these two main characters in love and sifting through and nobody else exists. Mm-hmm. I like reading books where there's other things going on. Mm-hmm. So I started writing books like that as well.
So is that the same thing for your Cops and Docs series as well?
Uh-huh.
Big cast of characters?
Yep.
So as I said as well, I love the banter in the book and your humour really does shine through. So is this something, again, that you work on and you've thought about how to perfect it, or does it just trip out of your fingertip?
I think it just comes out. Like I was saying before, I get kind of inspiration wherever, and sometimes I'll be driving and I get bits of dialogue that make me laugh out loud, and I'll say, oh my God, that would be perfect for this character, you know, or perfect for this scene, or, you know, or whatnot. So it just comes, you know, and I also have some very funny friends. They inspire me sometimes as well.
Okay, so do you just sit them in a room and go, be funny?
No, it's just like they'll say something, you know, and it sticks with me. And, you know, I was like, okay, but what if this character said something similar, but with this twist? How would that work? And so it either goes over well or people just don't get it.
Yeah.
There's no in-between.
Yeah, and I can see, you know, your characters as well being funny. They do swear as well, which I love. I'm very sweary in real life.
Me too.
Well,
me
too. Well, fucking great. Yay.
Yes, and, thank you.
And my characters always swear quite a lot. And I do get a little bit of mail from readers at first sort of saying, your characters swear a lot. And I'm like, yeah, they do. So do you get any pushback from people, or do you get people who love it?
I do. I get both. I get, with the blurred lines, I got epic pushback about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it had me to the point where I was like, wow, did I use that many fucks? I mean, come on. I mean, was it that many? And so I actually counted one day to see how many there were. I think there were 228.
Wow, that's a lot.
In a book, it is, in a book that was, however, 300 pages long. Mm-hmm. So that's actually not a lot. Mm. I mean, come down to a book that was close to 100,000 words. So, and I think Crossing Lines had a few less. But yeah, I get blowback from it. But I think it's because people, and I use this term, and I have nothing against it, nothing whatsoever. People, do not come for me, please. I use this term, sanitized fiction. You know, where everybody's nice and nobody swears and everything's light and, you know, cute and everything like that. There's a market for that. I'm not that person.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm not a writer. I will never be that writer. I don't think I can be that way. You know, I think a Big Girl Pill is probably the lightest book I've written.
Okay.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah. Because it's a straight up sort of romance at the end of the day. And the Publishers Weekly describe your book as sure to satisfy any hopeless romantic. This is the big girl pill. So are you a hopeless romantic? And go on.
I am not romantic at all.
You are not.
I am not. I'm not a romantic. My wife will be the first person to tell you that. In fact, I don't know what I'm doing writing romance novels. I'm not a romantic.
Ah. Is your wife a romantic?
She can be.
No big grand gestures in your life.
I do flowers. I do, you know, special little things that she likes. You know, if I'm at the store, which I don't go to at this moment in time. In the past, when I was at the store, you know, if I saw something that I think she would enjoy, you know, I would get it for her, you know, something like that. But, you know, no big grand gestures or anything like that. So, unfortunately. So.
Well, maybe actually, though, romance is in the small things, I think. The everyday things. So you're okay to write romance. There you go. You see, you get the flowers, you got the small things, it's all good. So your characters hail from all different backgrounds and cultures, and they're also not all stick thin and 6 foot tall. Diversity is something that keeps being talked about in lesfic, and it's certainly something I'm aware of in my books. And, you know, when I look around my life, I've got friends and family from all different backgrounds. I'm 5'2", my wife's from Hong Kong, you know. How do you think we're doing with diversity in lesbic as a whole?
I think we have a long way to come, to be honest. I think there's a little more than it used to be, but I still think it's an issue, and I can't speak for every writer or author out there. I think sometimes writers get scared to kind of explore other cultures and stuff because they want to be able to do it correctly, mm-hmm. you know, and not just kind of stereotype or glaze over it. And I imagine that can be kind of a scary thing, you know, and that's what sensitivity readers are for, you know, to help you point that out. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a long way to go because the default in romance is still two white women, mm-hmm. you know, two white feminine women at that. You don't see a lot of, you know, butch film, you know, there is still some, don't get me wrong, but I remember in Between the Lines, you know, it was more of a butch film dynamic, and I had somebody put a warning for my book because it was a butch character.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like, what? I was like, you know, we do exist. I mean, I can't do anything about that. I mean, I said, I'm not a controlling person. I'm not, you know, I've never, you know, treated a woman badly. I was like, I wouldn't write characters that do that either, you mm-hmm. know, so. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we have a long way to go, you know. I say live and let live, right? Write what you want, you know, get a sensitivity reader to help you out. Don't be afraid, just go for it.
So before, as you said, Big Girl Pill, you were famed for your Cops and Docs series. So are you going to go back to that? And what is it about that that appeals?
I might someday. I just felt at the time it had run its course. I mean, you know, I didn't want to be I didn't want to stretch it too far, so to speak, you know, to the point where it was becoming a little ridiculous. I was like, oh, what was going to be next? You know, a vet and a veterinarian and, you know, a farmer, or, you know, it's just like, oh, what's going to be next? You know, so I didn't want to stretch it. So, but you never know. I may get more ideas about it one day, but I decided to try something different. And the reason why I did Cops and Docs, again, because Blurred Lines originally was in Rizzoli and Isles fanfic. Mm-hmm. But the other two books, you know, were totally my stuff, you know. So I decided to go ahead and keep the theme, you know, and make it a series of themes instead of characters. Because I like writing different types of cops. I mean, you have Kelly, who was, you know, brash on the outside and soft on the inside. You know, you had Haley in Between the Lines that was just this sweet butch, you know, who liked to get around and have fun. I mean, you know, stuff like that. So it was distinctly different characters, you know, in each book. And I just enjoyed exploring that dynamic between two very strong women, professional women, who are establishing their careers and, you know, who juggle that along with real life.
And also looked hot in a uniform, right?
Yes.
You may go back to it. And what's up next for you? What have you got next in line? Because, you know, you've just done the romance. Have you got the romance bug now? You're going to do another one?
I had previously started on a follow-up to Big Girl Pill with Rachel.
Ah, okay.
So I'm not working on it presently with everything that's happening going on, but that is, I think, going to be my next book. Rachel's going to get her own book. You know, I've done research about her job and, you know, how I want to do that. And this one's going to be, it's still going to have the humor, but it's probably going to be a tad bit sexier than Big Girl Pill was, because I think it needs to be, especially with her as a character.
Yeah, well, I'm here for that. I'm definitely here for that. I loved Rachel. And I was going to say as well, have you got any intention to write a lesbian superhero book, seeing as you love, you're a fan of superheroes?
I almost did that. I know when Ilva was doing their superhero series, she wanted me to join in on it, and mm-hmm. I don't think I could. I don't think I'm really good with kind of a sci-fi fantasy type thing.
Right, okay.
You know, if I ever get the inspiration, I would try, mm-hmm. but I don't know how good I would be with that.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe something for the future, you never know.
Yeah.
So are you a full-time writer, or do you have another job?
I do have another job. I work with kids with mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
and I work with kids who are involved in the juvenile justice system.
So you fit in your writing on evenings and weekends and things like that?
Right now, what I do is, what I've done before is, my job is mainly based in the afternoons. Every once in a while, I have a morning.
Okay.
And on the days that I write, I tend to write in the morning.
So you've got a very sort of structured, sort of, this mm-hmm. is your writing time. Yeah.
Yes.
So when you are sort of in the first drafting process, what is your writing process?
I just write. I tend to do things a chapter at a time. I'm not a plotter at all. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants
mm-hmm.
about what feels good, you know, for those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I have an idea where a chapter is going to go. I usually try to do a chapter or a chapter or two a week when I'm writing constantly. And when I'm done that week, I have to feel satisfied. You know, I have to feel like, okay, I've done something there, and, you know, I don't go back, I don't edit, I don't correct, I don't do any of that stuff. I keep that for the beta readers. They can do all, you know, whatever they want to it, because I have a tendency to get bogged down
okay. In
rewriting.
Is that your, sort of your fanfic days help with that? Because I guess that was just writing it and then putting it up, was that right?
No, I actually had a beta reader for my fanfic too.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, as good as I could, you know, for the people that I had it with. For the most part, they, you know, caught all the mistakes, you know, but, you know, writing the fanfic is so vastly different from writing a novel. I mean, because there are no rules in fanfic. In writing, you know, there are. You know, there's some things you can do, and there's just the way you write makes a difference, you know, so.
What's your favorite thing about writing when you're doing it then, and your least favorite?
My favorite thing is that I get caught up in the characters in the story. And they become a part of me. I really enjoy that process, you know. And when I near the end, I always have a problem with the last third of the book because I don't want it to end.
Okay.
And I don't want to leave these characters. So I usually get writer's block around that time, you know, and I have to set everything aside, think and go do other things and then come back to it, you know, eventually and go like, okay, this is going to end. And it's happened through every book I've written.
Oh.
Every single one. Yeah. In fact, my least favorite thing is the writer's block. I mean, you know, it happens like clockwork.
At least you know it's coming though, right? Or does it take you by surprise?
I don't know if it's a psychosomatic thing at this point or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. And does your wife, do you sort of run in the other room and go, oh my God, I've got writer's block. Does your wife go, this happens every time?
Well, she just kind of rolls her eyes, yeah. You know, or something. That, you know, because, you know, I have writer friends that I talk to, you know, and she'll ask me, she'll hear me on the phone, are you talking about real people? And I have to say, honey, they're real for us.
That's very true, yeah. What's the best piece of writing advice you've ever been given?
To just write, put your heart on the page. Don't worry about what people are going to think. Just write, you know. For you.
That's a good piece of advice. And if someone's coming fresh to your books, which one should they pick up first and why?
At this point, since Big Girl Pill is so vastly different from my other novels, I would say start with that one. You know, because I think it's a little less serious, but you get like a peek at the writing style and stuff. So I think that would be a good one to start with. And then, you know, go toward, you know, Blurred Lines. And then after they finish those four, maybe if they feel like, oh, I'm tired of romance, go for Pink. because my novella Pink is not a romance at all. It's, you know, just more of a getting to know somebody, you know, changing and getting to know themselves again after a breakup. So that's an interesting novel too, if they're looking for something different.
Okay, cool. And when I was preparing for this interview, I had a look on your website, of course, and you've got a page there with New Orleans food and beer, mm-hmm. and it really did catch my eye, because we came to Nashville a few years ago, didn't get to New Orleans, really want to go. I love food and beer, so if I'm going to New Orleans, what should I order?
There is a restaurant that has the best. Do you like oysters?
I love oysters, yes.
Char broiled oysters.
Okay.
It's a garlic, lemon, parmesan thing. It's so good. And I'm trying to think of the restaurant, but they're famous for them. And
okay.
Just ask me. I can't think of the name of the restaurant.
All right, I'll ask you if I go. But I mean, you know, garlic, parmesan, lemon, oysters, I'm in.
Yeah, it's so good. And they give you this huge piece of French bread to kind of sop up the juices with.
All right, I'm hungry.
Oh, my God. And that's like my favorite. That's like my favorite dish, you know, I go. Because the restaurant is kind of pricey, mm-hmm. you know, we used to go like on my birthday or something like that and get them. So, but man, they are the best thing.
Okay.
So.
And a final question. If you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose and why?
I grew up, and I guess, you know, she's more of a poet, but I consider poetry writing. I grew up, you know, through high school and through college, reading Emily Dickinson. And I fell in love with her poetry. I mean, some of the imagery in it, the way she used the language, you know, and all that stuff. You know, I have a book of her poetry somewhere in my bookcase. You know, I pick it up every once in a while. So Emily Dickinson, one of the first, and this is going to sound strange, but I thought about it. One of the first books I read that I really got into as a preteen, it was called The Talisman. It was by Stephen King. So I would say Emily Dickinson and Stephen King.
That is a very strange mashup, mm-hmm. but I like it.
Storyteller. He's an excellent storyteller, just the way he weaves things. And watching the movies just based on his fiction is a whole different level of stuff, but reading it is just like, wow, you know. Maybe not the books when he was hopped up on coke,
yeah.
but, you know, a little bit before that and after that, I mean, you know, so.
Yeah, no, he is a fantastic storyteller, and I love his book on writing, just fantastic. So this has been fantastic. Where can readers find out more about you, KD, if they want to check out your books?
Well, I'm on Amazon. I have a website, kdwilliamson.org. I'm usually fairly prolific on Twitter at Rizzles Lover 72. So that's pretty much where you can find me at.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been fabulous.
It has been for me too. Thank you.
All right. That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to find out any more about me and my books, just head on over to my website at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look up my books on any of the major platforms, including Amazon, Apple, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, ooh, some other ones that I can't remember, ooh, Bella and Ilva Publishing, I'm on there too, and streaming services and all that malarkey all around the world. Thanks so much to Denise at the Lesbian Book Club for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And if you want a free lesbian romance, head on over to my website, www.clairelydon.co.uk, sign up for my VIP Readers Club and get It Had To Be You for free. Join me next month when I'll be doing a half-year roundup with a whole bunch of lesbian fiction authors. See you then.